Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So, been waiting a long time. Tomorrow, the big day. I hope everyone's ready to vote. I know I am. Well, as I said a couple of days ago, woke up ready. Except Pennsylvania is not an early voting state unless you send in an absentee ballot, and there you need an excuse. It's just, well, again, Pennsylvania sometimes still in the 18th century. But let's find out what's going on around the world here on Election Eve. I got Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, great to be here.
So, racist ad being pulled from Fox, really?
This is, one of these surprising stories that came out one day before the midterm election. Fox News is not going to be airing the controversial Trump ad that is pretty much, frankly, racist. This was an ad that featured footage of an undocumented immigrant who had killed a police officer, interspliced with caravan footage, and then suggesting that these were people who, the Democrats let stay in the country, and then questioned who else are they going to let in if they end up winning back the House. Besides just being a sort of race-baiting ad, this is also false on factual grounds. There is some pretty clear indications that, the cop killer that they were invoking was somebody who was deported under Bill Clinton and then brought back into the U.S. under George W. Bush. So just a lot of issues over there, something that has very quickly become sort of the modern-day Trump equivalent of the infamous Willie Horton ad. And then beyond just Fox News, this is also something that was dropped from NBC and Facebook as well, who said that they would not be allowed to pay to have this ad shown on the basis that this violates their content requirements against sensational content. So just a bad news day for Trump's campaign trying to make their final argument one day before the election. And, shows that there is at least some willingness to call out racist language and racist images when, they're seen, and not just have it being viewed as some kind of vague, subjective description.
So let me ask the dumb question then, because, we're here on Election Eve. They decide today to pull the ad. Isn't this giving it more attention than it probably would have gotten had they just aired it?
That's sort of a concern to a large extent, but, a lot of people in the media have sort of wised up to this and, declined to show the ad when these things pop up and, have sort of been open to those criticisms. But overall, yes, it is getting attention, but this is not something that was necessarily just flying under the radar beforehand. Apparently this aired during Monday Night Football last night on NBC. So this is something that, regardless of whether or not it's getting media attention, was certainly getting paid ad buys as well.
But I'll tell you, I look at all of these political ads and I don't pay attention to any of them. I mean, at some point, I look at this and I'm going, even ones that I agree with, I don't pay any attention to because, they almost mean nothing to me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a...
Or am I alone in this? I mean, because I look at this stuff and, it's not the actual words of the candidate. It's not, their official message. I mean, it's some PR firm that, focus group tested, a little think tank approval. And hey, this is what's going to scare the you-know-what out of people, and this will motivate them to vote. I guess that's why I really stopped watching TV.
I mean, I don't blame you. As somebody who is getting constant commercials from Barbara Comstock and whatnot over here in D.C., just sort of bleeding into my media market, it is certainly... kind of hard to watch TV these days, but lo and behold, this is the message that the Trump campaign is putting forward.
Sure.
Not just for them, but for the broader message of why the Republicans should win, and ties into the larger fact that Trump has put himself on the ticket, and one day before the election, this is something that needs to be grappled with, and whether or not it gets more exposure, that's a different argument. But at the end of the day, this is an instance of Fox News basically moving against the president in a, pretty shocking fashion. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, there is that. But, I found it interesting. His comments was, I don't know anything about it. And I find your questions offensive. And, I just really,
Lots of things are offensive.
Things are offensive.
They certainly are.
And they start right now at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, boy.
Just my thought. You don't have to come along. You don't have to come.
Yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
You don't have to come along with that. You have to work over there. But, you know, here's the thing, and this is what gets me. I'm looking at this, and, you know, the economy's doing fairly well. I mean, he's got a lot to run on that, you know, the people are happy with the economy. I mean, you know, jobs are doing pretty well. You know, pay still lagging well behind. A lot of people have 2 and 3 jobs, you know. And, you know, you could make an argument that, you know, things are getting better, and that would be something very positive to run on. But I don't see that. All I see is we're going to scare the living you-know-what out of you because, you know, that caravan that's 1,000 miles away is coming for you.
Well, I mean, it's just so bizarre, you know, particularly because the president, you know, sounds his most presidential when he does discuss the economy or when he discusses trade issues. That was something that we saw back during the Republican debates back in 2016. You know, when Trump did talk about that on a policy level, you know, he generally didn't get the facts right, but he was able to at least present that argument as somebody who knew what he was talking about in the sense that he's coming from somebody who has a reputation as a businessman and somebody who has been a developer and understands the economy from a very unique perspective, yada, yada, yada. But that was not what he decided to run on in 2016. Instead, he went on a, you know, much different tact or track. He decided to make it about, you know, racial resentment and white aggrievement politics. And lo and behold, we're seeing that come back again. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's maybe just something that bores the president. You know, he said today that he would be running on the economy more, but that the media just doesn't want to discuss it. But, you know, frankly, whenever these issues come up, we see the president sort of driving the message away from the economy himself. On Friday, we had, you know, pretty positive unemployment numbers being released, showing, you know, that about 250,000 jobs were created in October. Something that, you know, should have been touted pretty heavily from the White House, but instead we had him on the South Lawn, you know, relitigating his attacks on the caravan, saying that he was going to be pushing the birthright citizenship fight all the way up to the Supreme Court and just not really have anything, you know, that resonated to say about the economy, which is pretty troubling, you know, to say the least, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of it, I mean, to me, it's very transparent. You know, the muck sells. Scaring the hell out of people motivates people. People don't do things when they're happy. They do when they're either ticked off or scared to death. And what he's trying to do is he's just trying to scare the hell out of people. I get that. And the hope is that we get it too, and people push back tomorrow. Let's move on. Georgia, you know, with all the Secretary of State, you know, trying to steal all the votes and all the stuff that's going on there. There's actually, you know, a candidate in Georgia claiming that there's hacking going on.
Yeah, this was pretty bizarre. So this is Brian Kemp is running for the Republican. Sorry, he's a Republican running for governor and
Secretary of State.
Yeah, he's currently the Secretary of State, somebody who is in charge of voter security and has previously turned down DHS assistance in terms of making Georgia well-protected for the midterms and other elections.
Right, the guy who threw 591,000 people off the voting rolls and also...
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So over the weekend, he released a press release on the website for the Secretary of State, essentially accusing the Democratic Party of a hacking attempt and saying that it was going to be investigated by federal authorities without providing any evidence right before the midterm election.
Nice.
You know, we're getting some information on this from local media in Georgia that pretty much shows that this was somebody who called a voter protection, you know, hotline that was out there. And then Kemp decided to basically turn the tables and accuse Democrats of trying to hack the election because somebody who was unrelated found a security flaw in the website that is maintained by the Secretary of State's office. And, you know, even though this is a failure on him, is something that is just one of the more crass and politically exploitative moves to make. So that's what he's moving on right now. You know, Democrats in Georgia have noted that there's no evidence for this. And what's really interesting about this is that Trump was asked about it yesterday. And generally, when you float any sort of suggestion of a conspiracy theory to Trump, he'll usually latch on.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, last week or the week before that, somebody said, do you think that George Soros is funding the caravans? And his response was, I don't know, maybe. A lot of people have said it. And when he was asked about this, he wouldn't bite. So I guess it's almost at some point a conspiracy theory that's even too crazy for Trump.
Is that possible? No, but I look at this and you go, there's a whole bunch of problems I have with Georgia and Kansas, where you have the Secretary of State running for governor, but also controlling who gets the vote. And now you've this crazy guy who must think he's going to lose. And this is kind of a last ditch effort, you know, to rile the base to get them to come out and vote for him. I mean, this is just, to me, you know, just transparent, you know. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's really despicable. It's also somebody who is, you know, the Secretary of State of Georgia, who should be focused on ensuring that there is a belief in legitimacy for the voting process in his state. And, you know, he's just shown little regard for making sure that that level of trust is there, which is, you know, pretty alarming from somebody who is already a public servant and, you know, looking for a promotion.
Yeah, but here's my view on this, and you don't have to come along. But, you know, the Republican Party has been all about delegitimizing the stability of our electoral system. I mean, at every turn, they're saying, you know, there's all these illegal votes happening and all this hacking going on and, you know, all of this shenanigans. And they've been setting up for when they lose that they can then turn around and say, see, we told you we lost because they cheated. When really, when you stop and look at it, they're the ones who have been screwing with the system since 2000. It's mind-blowing at how many different schemes they have come up with, from the caging to now the cross-check. And you go, when do we – I'm hoping voters are paying attention to this and throw these bums to the curb.
Yeah, I mean, this has become a sort of a directive in a lot of ways. You know, this isn't just in Georgia where we've been seeing these controversies over – you know, steps to bar people from heading to the polls and voting. We've seen this all over. This is something that's been talked about, you know, from Karl Rove for a number of years during the Bush administration. Prior to that, there's obviously a long history. You know, in more recent years, we saw the Supreme Court giving Republicans a victory by striking down, you know, key portions of the Voting Rights Act that, you know, would keep an eye on states that had a history of disenfranchisement.
Like Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. Now that's no longer the case. And this is what we have to deal with right now. So it's certainly raising a lot of tension. There obviously is a huge deficit when it comes to trust, not just in Georgia, but in a lot of states right now. And that's just a sad reality heading into, you know, tomorrow's election.
Yeah, but the thing is, people got to get out. You got to vote. Got to vote. Got to vote. So tomorrow is the big midterm. Any thoughts? What are you expecting tomorrow?
You know, I have a source who told me that it's all going to come down to turnout, and, you know, I don't want to give any names, but, you know, I think that...
I've heard that, too.
Yeah, right? No, I mean, I'm, you know, there's such trauma after 2016 in terms of just, you know, something that you thought was going to happen, something that, you know, you just understood as a professional who does this day in and day out and has seen, you know, a fair number of elections, to just see your conception of reality kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
That there's just sort of a knee-jerk reaction in D.C. especially to, you know, look at the data, to look at the reports, to have an intellectual understanding that shows that Democrats are favored to win the House, but to also have, you know, the memory of 2 years ago in the back of your mind. So, you know, the data all says it looks like it's favored for Democrats. It looks like they are going to at least take control of the lower chamber. But, you know, again, we can't really say anything with too much confidence, I guess.
Yeah, it comes down to turnout. But here's the thing. You know, when I looked at 2016, I called it. I knew what was happening. I predicted Trump was going to win, and the Republicans were going to gain control. So I wasn't surprised. This time around, I'm a little more optimistic for Democrats because of what has happened over the last year and three quarters. So we will see what happens.
We certainly will, and I'm looking forward to a long night tomorrow night, and hopefully I'll get a chance to join you again.
That would be great. Justin, I appreciate it. Great talking with you.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Justin Duckham, Washington correspondent, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.